Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Happy Super Bowl Monday. Hope you're doing okay. Hopefully you don't have a headache. Maybe you're at work, maybe not. I think something like 22 million Americans are taking off work today. We're here for you, though, and sitting next to me is not Chris Ronji, but Michael Kelly filling in for Chris Ronji, who is who knows where, but appreciate you joining us, Michael.
Yeah, it was a bad game yesterday, but fun all the hoopla nonetheless, right?
A lot to break down, If you are listening on 1120 AM, thank you very much. You can also try out 98.7 FM. It is clearer, especially along that Highway 40 corridor. Even better, download the Odyssey app. You can take us with you wherever you go. You can follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. And we do encourage you to leave a voice message for us on the Odyssey app. Go to the KMOX page, click on KMOX, and you'll see a little microphone icon. You can leave us a voice message. We want to hear your thoughts about the Super Bowl. What did you make of the game? What did you think of the commercials? Did you love the halftime show? Michael and I have some thoughts on that, and also like a pretty depressing conclusion to that. But we do want to hear from you. So again, the Odyssey app, leave us a voice message. You can always text and call at 314-436-7900.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Well, as I mentioned, the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 59. The Eagles trounced the Chiefs 40-22, which actually makes it sound a bit closer than it was.
It was just a week ago we were in the 70s. Well, guess what? We may have accumulating snow this week. We'll check in on what's going on with the snow and whether or not our region's prepared.
And football is over, and that means baseball is back. You're not going to believe it, but pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. In fact, our own KMOX sports fella, Matt Pauly, is on an airplane right now on his way to Jupiter.
What an assignment that is. Now, I do feel sorry for Matt because I spend some time down in Jupiter and I run into him. And for a whole month, he's away from his wife and kids. And he's got little kids. But at the end of the day, how do you complain about, my job has sent me to Palm Beach for a month?
Yeah. No,
I'd like that gig.
Do you know, I've never been to spring training.
Yeah.
My whole life.
Really?
Been to Cardinals games, been to World Series games, playoff games, but I've never been to spring training. Now I know you'll get down there a bit.
Right. So here's the secret about spring training. It's the feeling and the energy that baseball in summer is coming back that really drives it. Because honestly, the games at the beginning of the year, sure, the Tom Ackermans, the Kevin Wheelers know the names of these, you know, young children that are out there playing, but you'll have no clue who they are. And then as we get later, you know, the last 10, 12 days of spring training is the best time to be there because that's when you're going to see the players of names you know and what the team's going to look like. So otherwise, it's more just the camaraderie and the feeling of being down there with Cardinal fans.
Well, we will keep, obviously, getting updates from Matt Pauly, keep you updated on spring training. But before we say goodbye to the football season, a lot to unpack from yesterday. I think we should do this as well. Cause like I said, we really want to hear from you today. The Odyssey app, the voice message feature, the microphone icon on the KMOX page on the Odyssey app. Leave us a voice message. We can play it on the air. You can also text us at 314-436-7900. Here's a Twitter poll I think we need to get up there. What are people talking about more today? The game or the halftime show? Because I would argue that both were boring. However, like I said, I was texting about the halftime show. I know who Kendrick Lamar is. I actually knew the song Not Like Us. I knew that song. I had heard it.
It was all one song.
It felt like one song, and I texted that to Chris Ranji and our producer, Matt Pajeski, and Matt said, and I quote, "Don't be so old."
Ugh.
And I think I'm old, guys. I get it. Yeah, old.
I'm with you, Amy. I'm on a thread with my sisters.
Yeah.
And my family. And I texted the same thing, which was my only reaction, because I didn't want to be like, I hated that.
Yeah.
Was, I'm old, because I didn't understand any of it. Now, I know the name Kendrick Lamar.
Uh-huh.
I did not know one song, one beat, one hook, one rhyme that he had.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know. I think that the reason that I found the halftime more disappointing mm-hmm. than the game is because there's an expectation there could be a blowout in the game.
Yeah.
Or, and if it's your team, by the way, if you were a Philadelphia Eagle fan yesterday, yesterday was one of the greatest days ever. I mean, it was a lot of fun. That halftime was boring to me in the sense that I thought it was so narrowly focused to those who could have appreciated it. I was texting with my mom, who's, you know, several decades mm-hmm. older than me, a couple of decades older than me, my sisters, and even some people younger than me that didn't have any clue what was going on.
I feel like it's hard to say someone's niche when you like have just won 5 Grammys for your song with Kendrick Lamar. And not that he is niche, but it was almost like the show. When I say niche, I mean young people. I think if you were between the ages of 17 and 25, it was one of the best ever. You got everything. I think we're just old. I think this is how our parents must have felt when they heard some of our music. And okay, Matt, you can jump in here too, because like I agree with you, Michael. It felt like one song. And like I said, I understood. I recognize the beat of Not Like Us, but doesn't Kendrick Lamar, he has a distinct type of rap that's different than old school rap. It's different than the horrible anti-Semitic Kanye West. But like everybody knows Kanye songs, right? Like you can dance to them.
It's got a hook in it.
Yeah, but
that doesn't have a hook.
Kendrick's songs are a little bit more monotonous, or his rap style's a bit more monotonous, or his voice more monotone, I should say. A lot of his songs are kind of like racially charged. Like there's a lot of like hard-hitting issues about mm-hmm. him growing up in Compton in a bad neighborhood, and they're not like, you know, dance songs or like hip hop songs from the 80s and 90s that you would dance to. So it was definitely a different feel for sure. I going back to what you said about being old,
yeah.
I think being old is a mindset. You can be an older person and look at this and say like, you know what, this isn't really my music. I didn't grow up with this, but I can understand what, you know, what they're going for.
I agree with you on that. I didn't diss it.
Yeah, sure. But then for other people to be like, this ain't music. They should have Kiss up there. Like,
Kiss, we're not that old.
I know. Those guys are 80 years old. I don't want to see them limping around the stage either. I like that music, though, too. I like old music, and I like some of Kendrick Lamar's music, too. I like both, but you got to appeal to a different...
Let's be honest, though. The NFL probably symbolizes and sums up America more than anything, right? It's commercials, it's marketing, it's violence. It's all this stuff that has become America. And, the commercials cost, what, $8 million?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If that's to attract people to be invited to spend their money, first of all, 18 to 25 year olds, I'm sure I would have loved it too. I had 2 nickels to run together at that time. Like, so if you wanted to do rap or mm-hmm. racial, you could have done Run DMC. You could have done Eminem. You could have done something that would have had a broader appeal. If you wanted to, you know, you could have had Paul McCartney was there, for gosh sakes. He's the modern day, you know, a living Beethoven.
I think this is...
And I'm listening to this guy.
Yeah. But that's how old we are, Michael, because apparently, I think I read this, that Kendrick Lamar was heavily influenced by Eminem. Because Eminem's 50-something.
Right.
You know?
But Eminem has a hook. And we all know Eminem.
So here's... Okay. I get that
it was
that
the worst Super Bowl ever simply because none of us knew a song can remember it. Remember, you sent around Prince. You've sent around Michael Jackson or Bruce Springsteen. Nobody's going to be sending that around.
So here's... So to the point of being old. I am old. And I was old when I was a kid. But I'm still old. But here's the thing. Driving home from the Super Bowl party yesterday, I was doing this. Pink Pony Club, I'm going to keep on dancing. And I was listening to Chapel Roan, which is a young person's artist, right? So I'm not completely oblivious because here I am 41 years old singing Pink Pony Club with Chapel Roan, who's, I mean, not really my style altogether, but she has some really catchy songs and I listen to that. So I'm not completely oblivious. And Kendrick Lamar is an older age group, I would say, than Chapel Roan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's much older. He's been around longer. Here's where I felt old, like we didn't get it. There were so many nods to things that I didn't follow, like the Drake Kendrick Lamar feud, and how, I mean, Kendrick Lamar called Drake a pedophile in that song, and he pretty much did it on the Super Bowl as well. Uh-huh. Like all the lyrics towards Drake were about Drake being a pedophile. And then SZA, the rapper, and Serena Williams, who did the Crip Walk dance, uh-huh, like on the stage. I didn't know this. Again, I had to look it up. Those are two of Drake's exes.
Okay.
So it felt very much like an inside, not an inside joke, but an inside show that the young kids who really cared
like
about 5% Drake.
5% of the country.
Yeah. Like they really got it and thought it was awesome. But because I don't follow the drama of any celebrities, much less like Drake and who's Drake's exes are, I just felt kind of out of it.
I don't know. I think the NFL failed, and not because the music was bad or whatever. It's just not going to stand up. It's not a Super Bowl halftime you're going to remember. You know, let's play that one again. That was so much fun. I thought it was disappointing. Now, to the contrary, did you see the music before the Super Bowl? Before the with Harry Connick and the
Lady Gaga on Bourbon Street.
Lady Gaga. I was like, boy, that was awesome, all that music.
Trombone Shorty. Oh, John Baptiste.
John Baptiste.
Oh, my gosh. I love that guy.
That entire hour of music there was incredible. Yeah.
You're actually completely right. Having John Baptiste singing the national anthem, Trombone Shorty and Lauren Daigle with America the Beautiful. And then Lady Gaga did her show playing the piano on Bourbon Street. That was really good.
There were two people in particular I was thinking about during the Super Bowl halftime performance while I was mind blown what was going on. Number one is, like I said, Paul McCartney. There's a living Beethoven in the room. And I just wonder, I mean, there's a guy who's going to appreciate art, so maybe he liked it or whatever. But, I mean, that guy could go down there and sing one song that would have blown us all away, and we had to listen to whatever that was. And the other one was President Trump, and I was thinking, good for you. This is your Super Bowl halftime performance. No, what do they call them? YMCA guys. No Village people.
Right.
The Village people, at least people would have known the song.
Well, like I said, if you know Kendrick Lamar, and again, we want to hear from you this morning. People did say that, like Matt said, he hits heavy topics. He has racially charged topics that he talks about issues, he raps about issues, that it did seem to be something of a juxtaposition with Kendrick Lamar, like, all right, I'm doing my show with my issues, and you did have Donald Trump there as well, although I don't know what Donald Trump knows about Kendrick Lamar. You know, he doesn't seem like something he'd be reading the lyrics to, because, you know, I don't know what he is. At any rate, we want to hear from you. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Markscores. 314-436-7900 to text us. You can also leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Can't get it out of my head. I'm telling you, man, that one right there, that beat right there. Oh.
Okay, so Michael Kelly, Amy Markscores, we've been talking about the halftime show, and actually, again, we had this. Chris Ranji, Matt Pajeski, our producer, and I were texting last night because it was partly. It's not that I don't like rap. Generally, I like rap that has a little bit more. Like you said, of a hook, maybe
a beat, something you can repeat.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Kanye West is a horrible, evil anti-Semite, like I said, but some of his music that we knew earlier, you remember it. It was catchy. Kendrick Lamar, a little bit more monotonous to me, but I'm also an untrained ear. So, you know, Sean Ono Lennon, John and Yoko's son.
Okay.
He's pretty active on Twitter. He's a pretty interesting follow on Twitter, actually. So this is Sean Ono Lennon. Here's what he said, and I think, Matt, you agreed as well. He said, I never thought I'd see an artist like Kendrick at the Super Bowl. It's cool to see. I don't think Kendrick's music was ever made with the Super Bowl in mind. It's not about that kind of thing. So I think to hear him for the first time in this context is probably not the most flattering introduction. But if you're a fan, then you know. This man is one of the greatest of all time, and if you know, you know. And I do...
Well said.
Yes, I feel like that is absolutely true. His music wasn't made for a Super Bowl stage.
Right.
And remember how I said, like, I felt like it was an inside thing? Like, I didn't,
right.
I didn't
get
it.
You knew it was quality. Whatever was happening was quality. To those who were appreciating it, you're just, I don't understand what's happening. I felt left out. Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I guess, and also, sometimes there are moments of change within a show where the stage changes or the artist is lifted up or they have new dancers or there is a wardrobe change, whatever it may be. And I think for the most part, this was pretty much the same dancers, right?
Right.
I will say I appreciated a halftime show where everybody had pants on. You don't always see that. You never see that. Everyone had pants on.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And people were clothed.
They were clothed.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. So
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Some of the ads, people weren't clothed.
I know. Yeah. There were a lot of ads that people aren't clothed.
But the dance, I don't know. I tuned out after a while. I mean, when I say I tuned out, it's not like I went switch channels. I just literally went and got something to eat and heard it in the background because it was, and I can't remember the last halftime show that I didn't sit through and watch it from start to finish.
Let's go to Judy in Ladue. Hey, Judy.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
And, you know what? I got to applaud you because my dad always said, look for something good and positive. And you're right. The fact that they all had pants on, that was good and positive.
I know. I was so happy. They had pants on. And so in some ways, that highlights his lyrics and his performance even more.
Listen, that actually improves my view of last night. But, I'm almost 81. And let me tell you, first of all, somebody in the crowd did know who he was. Nobody knew what the heck was going on. And it was a great time to go to the bathroom, clean up the kitchen, and do a lot of stuff because there was absolutely nothing. And it wasn't that I was cheering for the Chiefs and I was a little down. It just wasn't. It was only to one era.
Yeah, and it was to younger people. Yeah.
And that was, if my grandsons had been here, that had been really great. But somehow or another, there's a lot of eras that are there supporting football and you know, and this kind of environment. And I think they need to entertain us, some of us, too. Maybe not the antique ones like me, but at least.
Thank you, Judy.
At least your era should be entertained. So anyway, that's my thought.
Thank you, Judy. We appreciate it.
And I think what it comes down to is that, to me, the Super Bowl halftime is like must-see TV. Like, it's discussed leading up to the Super Bowl for months. Even before we know who's going to be there, we know who's going to be at the Super Bowl. And, it wasn't must-see TV for everybody. I think back to when Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Mary J. Blige did it, or, you know, you had something that appealed to everybody, and you saw the young kids to the older folks all sitting there watching it together. At least in my party, most of the 40 to 55-year-olds that were sitting there were checked out.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is like, we get it. We're old. Throw the old folks a bone. But just because old folks watch the Super Bowl. And to your point, and I will say this. Young kids, yes, they like Kendrick Lamar. But young kids know Snoop and 50 Cent.
Sure.
They do. They know those songs.
They would have
enjoyed it. So maybe you have a multi-era. Maybe that needs to be a focus no matter what genre you have. Maybe have multi-era Super Bowl halftime show.
You can't be too obscure. Like, if they went and pulled some true country star out that I'd never heard of that's not Garth Brooks or, you know, Chris Stapleton, I don't want to hear that either.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Markscores. Hey, joining us next is Jim Welby. He's the president of St. Dominic High School in O'Fallon. St. Dominic is launching a trades program for the 2025-26 school year. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Michael Kelly, Amy Mark scores with you. Well, really interesting program will be launching at St. Dominic High School. The 1,100-student school will launch a building trades program at the start of the 2025-2026 school year. And to give us some more information on that trades program, what it looks like, what it means, is president of St. Dominic High School in O'Fallon, Missouri, Jim Welby. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Amy.
So let's start with the trades program, what it will offer at St. Dominic.
Sure. So we're going to offer four different building trades. We surveyed our students to find out kind of what their interest levels would be. And so they came back and told us that the trades that they would love to study and learn more about would be carpentry, electrical, HVAC, and then plumbing and pipe fitting. And so those will be the four trades that we'll begin offering next fall at the start of the fall semester.
And with this program, is it available to the students all 4 years of high school? Do you have to be a junior or a senior?
Sure, that's a great question, Amy. So it has to be, we are at least initially opening the program only to our juniors and our seniors. We did a lot of research, spoke with the current trade schools that are in the area. And I think generally speaking, we felt like the safest way to begin the program was to only offer it to juniors and seniors. There's just something about trusting a 14-year-old with a chop saw or a table saw that maybe makes me a little bit nervous, but even they echoed that just a maturity factor certainly is more applicable for the juniors and seniors. So at least to begin the program, we're going to only offer it for juniors and seniors.
How many students do you have there at St. Dominic, and what's the interest level and capacity for these particular programs?
Yeah, Michael, we have 1,130 students right now. We'll be about the same next year. We've offered our acceptances for next year's class already. So we'll stay in that same area. And we surveyed our students over the last 2 years. And each year we had an interest level come back of around 230 students who expressed an interest to study and take at least a class in one of these trades opportunities. So a little less than one in five of our students expressed an interest at least seeing it. And I think important to note in that is that some students will come into the program with the desire that that's what they really want to do for the rest of their life. So they'll get a chance to see what that looks like while they're in high school. But other students will take it simply as a practical art class because it's something that interests them. Even if they know that they're heading college bound, it's a chance for them to get a little bit of exposure that certainly will do them some good for the rest of their life.
Yeah, this is so cool that you're doing this and that these younger folks are getting exposed to a career. Mr. Welby, will they be earning any type of credit towards a trade school if they were to do this through those 2 years that they can then take with them to kind of accelerate themselves to potentially getting into one of these trades?
Sure. So we will not initially have any sort of certification program available. When we met with all of these four unions, as well as just contractors that are in our community that are in these four building trades. And all of them gave us the exact same opinion, and that is let the kids learn. If they like to work with their hands, let them see what the different trades are and get exposure to it. But none of them were really concerned that they would come out with any sort of certification or a pre-apprenticeship type of certification or heading to the trade schools. And we have quite a few students right now that attend trade schools even without this program being offered to date. So I think we feel good about kind of the philosophy behind it. And initially we were looking at that, but again, in meeting with those union leaders and then also the different contractors, they all said, let them just get exposed to it and figure out if this is what they really are interested in doing as a possible career.
And just from a parent standpoint, if parents are listening to this saying, okay, I would be open to my child having maybe one class, which is in the trades, but I don't want them to miss out on like 2 or 3 days of school because 2 or 3 days are being replaced with trades classes. Can you kind of tell me how it's laid out and how could a student miss some other core classes if they choose to take the trades classes?
Sure. So thanks for that, Amy. That's a great question. And it's actually already been asked by a number of our families when we made this announcement. So this, and I think what's very unique to St. Dominic High School is that this is just another line of our course offerings. So it's no different than our engineering curriculum or our biomedical sciences curriculum or our business curriculum. So it is a part of our everyday schedule. All of our students that come to St. Dominic are on a track, placed on a track where they will be able to attend a four-year university should they choose to when they graduate. And so we maintain our college prep abilities with this program in place next year, but our students will take essentially a double class period, which is the equivalent of a year-long class, but they'll take it in a semester. So that we teach over the course of a two-day stretch. We teach four a day. And so a student taking one of the building trades would take it actually for two periods, like period one and period two. But they would do that for a semester but earn a year's worth of credit in it because of the double curriculum. But all students will still be on a pathway towards a four-year university if they come in and start to take these classes in the trades their junior and senior year.
Okay, got it. So I think this is the right term. So this is different than a technical high school where your trades training is replacing traditional high school. Like this is in addition to, so if you don't necessarily want to go immediately into the trades, you could go to a regular four-year college.
Yep, you hit it, Amy. That's exactly right. So students are going to be able to take these courses on our campus. We purchased a warehouse just adjacent to our campus, so students will be able to walk there and take their classes, and it fits right into their schedule. So they're not going to be missing, quote, half a day of school every day, as many of the different trades and technical schools in the area. High school students, they're just going to be a part of our students here taking all of their eight classes, and just two of them are going to be in the trades, and they'll stay here on campus all day, every day, if you will, for their high school experience.
The campus at St. Dominic is just spectacular. I'm from your crosstown rival, Duchenne Pioneers. Go Pioneers there, Mr. Welby. But I don't want to leave the fact that that's a significant facility that you all have, an investment that's being made there. And the hands-on aspects of this, it sounds like it's going to be really world-class in that facility.
We're certainly building it out to be that way, Michael. And by the way, we love our friends over at Duchenne as well. So I'm glad that you're a part of our Catholic school system. But yeah, it really is. You know, we've made continued investments in this community in this campus as a part of our community, really for the last probably 2.5-3 decades. And so this is just the next step. We have 8,000 square foot warehouse, and the build out on that is beginning so that we are ready to go for classes in the fall. But with everything we do, we want to make sure that we're meeting our students' needs, not just today, but also for the future. And there'll be no difference in terms of how we outfit this facility as well. You know, we really want to be on the front end and the cutting edge of that. And we do see growth in this program too. So, you know, starting right now with these four building trades, we certainly have the space and the capacity to increase and add programs over time. It's just initially we really want to get these four building trades rooted so that we can do them very well and then continue to add and grow when the time comes.
Yeah, really cool that it's exposure to the trades. And as you mentioned, different than a technical high school. This is just incorporated into your core classes. You can take one class, you can take two, and then you can go to Mizzou or wherever you want to go. Go to SLU and go to a four-year college afterwards. But let's say you love it and want to go into the trades. Does St. Dominic then have a pipeline or a connection where they could reach out to a technical college in the area?
Absolutely. So both local schools such as Rankin and then also statewide schools like State Tech and Lynn, Missouri. We have a number of students that attend both currently. So we've had a great connection and great pipeline with them, and as well as kids that just want to come out and get into industry. What we've noticed over the last probably 5 or 6 years is a growing number of students that were going into the workforce right away because they didn't know what they wanted to study in college, and so they wanted to pursue this. And so we have students that are currently in the electrical apprenticeship program. We have students who are operators for some of our contractors that we work with here at St. Dominic. But many of our families in this community, our historic families that have really helped build St. Dominic High School over the time, are from the construction industry. And so we have been highly engaged with them really over the last 2 years in planning this program. And we do believe that students who feel like they want to go to a technical college or they want to jump right into industry, we would be able to give them a great facility and a great opportunity to do so based on the connections that we have here with our current contractors. And I would also offer contractors that have been coming to us since this announcement's been made to say, hey, we want to help support this program and how can we help you guys? And that's been tremendous, tremendous opportunity for us as well that we're looking forward to utilizing.
And I do just want to add one more thing, which is something that your principal, Stacy Stewart, I believe said, yeah, which is that if anything, these classes spice up the daily learning of students who are constantly on screens. Like, it's such a digital world, and that they can actually go work with their hands, build, is something that is, believe it or not, pretty different for young kids these days.
Yeah, Amy, you're not kidding. And so many of us grew up, and you know, I'm a little bit grayer than probably a lot of our staff here, but so many of us grew up with not having screens in front of us. And so, but the students today that are coming into the high schools all have been on screens literally since they were sitting in strollers, looking at mom's phone and sitting in the back seat watching video screens in cars. That's just the reality of the kids today. And what a great opportunity for them to be able to go out daily and accomplish things with their hands, to see the fruits of their work. We're really excited, too, about the long-term possibilities that this could have in terms of being able to help with some of our own philanthropic outreach to local charities and things that might be able to be created and developed within this trades program that could then benefit those charities as well. So I think there's a lot of lessons that really can be taught to students by working with their hands and by getting exposure to this. And if it was me, I can tell you I would appreciate a good break in the day to be able to go and put something together or build something or wire something up. So I do think it's a great opportunity for our kids to learn in a way that they have not yet had that experience and learning previous to coming here.
Absolutely. Well, Jim Welby, president of St. Dominic High School, we really appreciate your time this morning.
Amy, you and Michael, thank you guys very much. We're grateful for the opportunity and continue to do all the great things you guys are doing at KMOX.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That is Jim Welby.
He's so polite.
The president of St. Dominic High School. He is. And Michael, with your obviously background in unions and the trades, this is a big deal for the area because Missouri is a big union state, but the trades need people.
It's more the trades and construction, of course, the unions. And the unions have done the same thing down at St. Mary's High School in the city, now St. Dominic. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize that these are very valid and good-paying careers and, you know, St. Dominic is – I happen to know a lot of the parishioners are the folks who participate out there, and there's a lot of folks whose parents come from those trades. And so it's, I got to tell you, I'm encouraged to see working with our hands being revered and appreciated as opposed to the thought process we had when we were growing up, Amy, which was, no, it's all about going to college. Some of the most well-rounded people making a really quality living and growing some incredible families in my life are people who belong to the building and construction trades.
Well, and we learned
incredible work.
It is. And we learned how the trades keep the country running, especially during COVID. There are a lot of English majors that could sit around. And I love English. I get it. However, when you talk about keeping the country running, keeping the country moving, making sure houses are being built, being repaired, toilets being repaired. You can't survive without the trades.
And it's about exposure. We were talking about Kendrick Lamar, and, you know, there's something that you and I haven't been exposed to. And, you know, the electrical work is all about computer systems and stuff that's going on. There's so much that these young people, just by getting to be able to put their hands on it and touch it and see it, may inspire them, and who knows what way. So I think it's awesome. Well done, St. Dominic. I hope that other schools will follow suit and that there's capacity for these types of programs to grow, because this is a skill that people walk out of and have for the rest of their lives that they can make money with.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Did You See This is next on the Chris and Amy Show.
Now, Did You See This with Chris and Amy.
All Super Bowl all day, baby. Hey, yeah. we've got a few texts in. You can keep texting in 314-436-7900. We did get one from A618 that says, I'm 22 and I dozed off for a bit during the halftime show. But we also don't know if that guy or that lady, maybe they were drinking, maybe they were puffing the magic dragon. You don't know why people are dozing.
I never thought about it.
You never know why people are dozing.
You always think the worst of people.
Absolutely. Now, Matt Pajeski brought up, you're a fan of Kendrick Lamar, correct?
I do. I like
it. And you were saying he's not showy in the sense of a big production. It's his lyrics.
Right.
He has dense, like you said,
heavy
racially
topics.
Charged,
yeah.
Heavily topics. And here's a texter that said, you both, meaning Michael Kelly and I, not Matt Pajeski, a 314 says, you both have missed a big part of the halftime show. There was a big symbolic narrative about racial relations in America. It was fascinating. There have been a lot of viral videos today discussing the symbolism. I think it will be remembered forever. So for some people, obviously, like I said, I think it's probably, if you were familiar with Kendrick Lamar and really liked his music, you got it.
So, but I also think that there's probably some education now going on based on some of the symbolism that we saw the other day, and we have not done our homework in the sense that we watched it, gave you our guttural reaction. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll learn something later that will make me realize that it was some really insightful thing that went down. But my ignorance right now was just based on what I witnessed. Now, did you see this, Amy?
Yes.
The Super Bowl consumed so much of yesterday that my favorite television show, Hancock and Kelly, was canceled on Channel 2.
Oh, did I see it? Here's what I did.
What?
Sunday morning in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I brew a pot of coffee.
Hey, now.
Smells good.
Yeah,
it's percolating.
Yeah.
I get a blanket.
Uh-huh.
I get cozy on my couch.
Right.
I turn on the TV. I want to watch my best buddies, Hancock and Kelly.
Yeah.
They're not on.
We were not there because they started the pregame show yesterday at 8 a.m. Think about that. The game was not until 5:30. They had pregame. Now, I had mine on in the background as the day went on yesterday.
Yeah.
And we are becoming the dumbest society ever. Now I'm watching Bill Belichick go to a high school in New Orleans for some
another girlfriend?
Yeah. No, for some reality TV like engagement scene. And then Howie Long on the streets of, you know, Philadelphia talking about, it's like we turned everything into this show. Like I wanted to hear sports guys talk sports.
Yeah.
Not go around and do skits and stuff for 7 hours.
That's a lot. Well, maybe they assumed everyone would be too wasted to care, because Americans drink an estimated 325 million gallons of beer on Super Bowl Sunday, which is the equivalent of 50 million cases.
Wow.
Of beer.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Maybe they're thinking, listen, we can do skits, we can do whatever we want. But like, to your point, at 8 a.m., you're probably not plastered yet.
Did you notice that I thought there were very minimal beer and alcohol commercials yesterday? There were a couple of Bud Light and a couple of other commercials. We'll have to talk about commercials later.
Yeah.
But I didn't see much alcohol. And if thinking back, and here we are living in the past Super Bowls, Bud Bowls and the Budweiser commercials were like the whole commercial game.
Yeah. I know Anheuser-Busch spent more than any other single company. I did think they did, what, five, six, seven ads at $8 million a pop. That's pretty expensive, but yeah, it's interesting to see the different themes each year for the Super Bowl ads, which we will talk about in the next hour. But joining us next, Chris Ciliza, political commentator and author of the daily newsletter, So What, joins the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.